You're listening to KDRT 95.7 right here in Davis, California. KDRT, the little local radio station. I say it's the best little radio station on this side of the causeway. What do you think, guys? Hey, we got a great show for you today. Today we have with us Timothy Walker. Timothy is a student currently, student and teacher, in at the University of California, right here in Davis. Comes from the Atlanta area, and we're gonna be talking to. In the background, you're listening to Fleetwood Mac, and the name of the song is "Before the Beginning." Welcome, Timothy, to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. That's what this show's all about. It's guests and especially the local scene. Mm-hmm. And so welcome. He's got his guitar ready to play some songs for us as we slowly fade away from Fleetwood Mac. You know, Fleetwood Mac, Timothy, has done some other instrumentals. Occasionally they would put one out, and it's always kind of nice to hear, and it's especially nice when you're using it as an intro into a radio show. What got you into music, Timothy?
Oh, big question.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my dad is a musical person. He played guitar growing up and singing. And I have a twin sister. And so around the age 14, for my sister and I, we started playing guitar together. My dad taught us, and church was actually a big place where, yeah, we were encouraged to sing in choir. And also
like so many musicians.
Yeah, so many. Yeah, so right. Many. Exactly. It's, yeah. It is the birth of so many origin stories for musicians. Yeah. But yeah, learned to play guitar at church, and it was a sort of like a snowball from there.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So besides church music, what kind of music did your father and your mother listen to or enjoy?
Yeah, my so I remember my mom really loved Motown.
Okay.
Like the Supremes were her favorite.
Yes.
My dad really loved the Mamas and the Papas and some of the sort of 60s and 70s folk.
Right.
And even a little earlier, like the Everly Brothers as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we grew up listening to the oldies station. Yeah. Like that's my and like the Christian music station as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of oldies music for sure, 60s and 70s.
I was in Atlanta, which is where you're from originally, that area, right?
Yeah, north of Atlanta, yeah.
So downtown Atlanta, and there was a little jazz club there across from a school maybe or a big building. And it was just a wonderful venue. It was like a dirty hole in the wall, but it'd been there like for 70 years.
Wow.
I don't know if it's still there or not, but the music scene there was really fun.
Yeah.
Live music scene.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Did you go to a lot of concerts back then?
Yeah, so I left Atlanta in 2014, so I lived there for most of my life, and I was lucky to fall into a sort of burgeoning kind of group of singer-songwriters at that time, and we were all kind of playing on each other's music and recording together. And so those were the sort of shows I was going to, were sort of local kind of divey bar places. Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask, the last big-name concert you went to, who was that?
Bjork.
Bjork.
I think that's the last one I went to. Yeah.
Bjork. So where would that have been?
It was in San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay.
I went with my dear friend Jorge.
Okay.
We went together. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a pretty wild show, I have to say. And it was not my usual kind of show. But
okay.
Yeah. It was fantastic. I definitely recommend seeing her.
I would have loved Paul McCartney was here right before COVID, and I would have loved to have gone, but in the nosebleed section, at the stadium, the tickets were over $300.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't justify that.
Couldn't swing it. Yeah.
I think I'd rather buy the vinyl and be done with it. You know?
Yeah.
So you're going to play some songs for us, but you write all of your own material?
I do, yeah, for the most part. I do enjoy playing some cover songs as well, but been writing songs for a long time now.
So what comes easier for you, the lyrics or the music, or do they sort of come in tandem?
I would say when I was first working on songs and writing songs as a young person,
that
the lyrics were definitely first, and I would add them to music.
Okay.
But I think later, in my later years, it's been sort of more music first as a sort of like, energy or vibe from a melody or progression, and then sort of like searching for its mate in the lyrics or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you say that when you're at home and you're having some downtime, mm-hmm. playing the guitar for you is sort of like a meditation, mm-hmm. a yoga type thing, you know, just to clear your mind of everything else except focusing on that guitar?
Totally. Yeah. I'm in the middle of like working on my dissertation. This like playing guitar and singing is definitely like an alternate place to go from that sort of stress and overwhelm.
Right.
And yeah, so it's been definitely a sanctuary for sure.
Or I'm going to ask you to sing a song here in a second, but you mentioned that you're working on your dissertation at UC Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that's a very stressful process.
Yeah.
So maybe after the song you're going to sing, we might explore that a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely would love to briefly talk about it.
Okay.
At least, yeah.
Alrighty. Well, Timothy Walker, what are you going to play for us?
This one's a newer one. It's called Shape of Grace. And it's a song about a series of relationships, and I kind of like a sort of composite of different vignettes and images from some romantic relationships and friendships that I've kind of squeezed together into a song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I bathe in smoke, I bathe in wine, I think about you almost all the time, all the time. I trace your form, and next to mine, I never know quite where to draw the line. Ooh, draw the line. I don't know if I could. This feels like something good. I don't know if I. So I won't forsake the ghosts that haunt all the years it takes to know just what you want. Ooh, what you want. I don't know if you should. This feels like so. I don't know if you could.
trouble I'm in, trouble I'm in. You wake to me, I kiss your face. Could this space of our longing be a shape of grace? Ooh, a shape.
That ending, a kiss, a shape of grace. Mm-hmm. What a line. What a line.
Thank you.
Such a gentle song. A releasing of pain song. Mm-hmm. Could that be?
Yeah. I think it's like about, I think I was trying to capture this sort of tentativeness about entering into relationships. Okay. And maybe about being wounded from the past. And yeah. So... yeah, I definitely think there is some release of yeah. some past wounding yeah. there, pain for sure.
But a kiss, the shape of grace. How do you find a shape of grace?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the shape of a star?
Yeah.
A circle, a square, you know, or a triangle?
Yeah.
Or a cloud?
The form of a relationship, maybe. Right. Just like how you, yeah, how we fit together, how right. we relate to each other. Yeah.
So, well, sort of wonderful, but I will ask you to do one thing, and I'm sorry we yeah. have to do it on the air. I'm going to ask you to move a little bit more this yeah. way so I can get this mic in front of the important part of the guitar for awesome. There. That should be a lot better. Yeah, super. Thank you. All righty. So we talked a little bit about, before you sang your song, about what you're doing at UC Davis now, and you said you'd like to talk a little bit more about it. So here's your chance.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear this.
So, yeah, I am a PhD student, and right. I'm working on my dissertation. This hopefully will be my final year, and I'll wrap up my writing in the summer.
Right.
And did I say it was in English? Did we talk about
no.
that? Okay, yeah.
No.
So my PhD is in English literature, and my sort of area of specialty is 19th century American literature before the Civil War.
Whoa.
Mostly, yeah. And I'm writing about the politics of spirituality before the Civil War and the place of Christian conversion in literature. And also the interest of the state in sort of surveilling or monitoring people's conversion experiences and routing them into sort of a Christian nationalist sort of framework.
Whoa, that's yeah. a huge subject.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've definitely Christian nationalism feels like it's in the air these days.
And this
for
is
sure.
before the Civil War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My goodness. In a nutshell, what's the takeaway?
The takeaway that is that conversion, religious conversion is actually...
Right.
Oh,
no,
good?
Right,
yeah.
yeah.
So religious conversion is a sort of vehicle for also becoming an ideal sort of national subject, so that there is, when one converts, there's a certain... a set of like Republican principles that you're also sort of buying into.
Today, you mean?
Not today. Oh. So this would be the sort of 19th century, sort of
okay.
early national period.
Okay,
that's I think quite it's shifted a little bit probably
right.
into the present day. But I'm sort of kind of shuttling back and forth between looking at the Puritans when they first show up, and then how that their sort of perception and conceptions of Christian
right.
conversion kind of make their way across 18th century and the Great Awakenings, and then show
yeah.
up in this sort of like antebellum period from
wow.
1830 to like 1850 or so.
It seems to me that folks back then, everything was interpreted to be either black or white.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be? Or is that just me thinking that way, that if you... I don't know. Today
yeah.
people will say, well, you know, I sort of believe and maybe and blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. But back then it was sort of like, no. You, this is it, you know?
Yeah. I wonder, yeah, if sort of like the like secularism has like provided more options, so right. that there's a little bit more nuance. So it's not like, you know, you're either good or you're bad.
Right.
There's like, you know, some gray areas there as well. But yeah, I think that there was definitely some dogma. I think makes people sort of.
It's amazing. It's an amazing subject that you're tackling, but. I mean, just in my lifetime, so my parents were married in 1939. Mm-hmm. I didn't want you to think it was 1839. That's the only reason I said it. 1939. And I can remember my parents talking about other people thinking that the most important thing was if your son or daughter was married, the other person better not be either a Protestant or a Catholic.
Yeah.
Whereas, and this was in Holland. And whereas today in Holland, I think maybe 25% of the people go to church. I mean, it's completely changed the opposite way. I guess that could be a good study. How did that happen in two generations? What happened there, right?
Yeah, some war maybe also changing people's perspectives.
Yes, you're very right. They were smack in the middle of the First and the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, well, look at here. We're almost a third of the way into the show. I need to remind all of you that you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastor, for a show called Listening Lyrics, and I don't think I mentioned that when I opened up. I should have, but I don't recall saying that. So now you know who else is in the studio. We're talking with Timothy Walker, who was... here in Davis, you said you've been here for almost 7 years now.
Yeah, this is good. I'm going into my seventh fall at the university.
So you're local.
Yes,
you're a local person now. You get to vote for the city council and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's we talked about religion, but I don't. Any of our city council members, we're right in the process of an election for some of them, and no one's mentioned their religion.
Yeah.
No one. You know, I don't know if they're, I don't
if
know what they are.
There's a taboo around it, or if it's like,
That's another great point. Is there a taboo if you emphasize your religion?
It depends on probably where you stand on the spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. My goodness. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
My wife and I were talking about that. We're talking about who are we going to vote for, you know, and we're looking at some of these candidates, and all of them say, we want to make our schools better.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking, like, what do you really mean by that, you know?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean everybody can, whatever you want to fill in the blank, you know, it's kind of like an open-ended
thing. It's a little vague, right, yeah.
Yeah, very vague. So you've also recorded a CD.
Yeah.
And the name of the CD is Threadbare Brother. That's the name of the band. Mm-hmm. And When the War is Through.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a personal war you're talking about or an actual war?
Personal war. Okay. Yeah, personal struggle for sure.
Yes,
yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
And who is Threadbare Brother?
Yeah, that is a... I guess I should back up a few steps. My my sister and I used to have a folk duo together called Tim and Kate, and we released an EP in 2009, and then I started to perform more of a solo act, and honestly, I thought that just Timothy Walker was kind of boring, so I was like, I really liked the word, like, threadbare. I thought it was a pretty rich word. And so I played around with a couple of ideas, and I really liked, so Threadbare Brother has a comma between threadbare and brother. So it's more of a sort of like a direct address as if you were answering a question and to your brother or whatever. So, I don't know. There's not really much of a story behind it besides I needed a stage name. And
so let's play one of those songs. Yeah. There's several on the album. Do you have one in mind?
Yeah, I think Borrowed Man
Borrowed
would be a
Man.
Good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. So number five.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about Borrowed Man and I'll cue it up.
Yeah. So I should say too that this album is it just turned 10 years old in September. So that was a fun thing to kind of listen back to this 10 years later. And Bard Man, I think, is a song about, it is about a sort of growing up in a particular sort of religious tradition. I grew up outside of Atlanta, evangelical Protestant tradition, and feeling really like that religion had informed so much of my identity and who I was. And so when I started to kind of migrate away from that religion, kind of feeling some emptiness and really reflecting on my own, attachment to that tradition, and feeling a little lost. Yeah. So I think that's the idea of like being a borrowed person is that you sort of belong to a group and a way of thinking. And then once you kind of leave that, it's there's a little bit of emptiness there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. For 20 years, I haven't gone to church.
Yeah.
But I grew up in the church, and I still miss the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you miss the music.
The
spiritual holidays, that special events, and all of that. But that's because you kind of more miss. I don't know if it's because you miss that's what your family was, instead of what it really is today. Mm-hmm. But you just, you know, as a kid, you'll miss anything that would happen way back then. So
yeah,
some of that. But anyways, let's listen to Borrowed Man. Borrowed Man, right? Yeah. Alrighty.
I'm a borrowed man with my borrowed plans. All the books on my shelf are foolish and wrong. All the songs I have sung have gone on far too long. I'm a is a wreck, and the future's a sea. All my hours away, they trouble my sleep. And what sort of I'm plowing the field.
with a cross in my hand. Oh, I stand in the door of the temple of my youth, and I stand.
Timothy, you hit a home run there.
Thank you.
Very nice. Let me just put that on hold for a second. So I think if I just kept playing the rest of your album, the listeners out there would be thrilled.
That's
so beautiful.
That's sweet.
So
Thank
beautiful.
You.
What sort of man am I? And that's a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we all think about that. We have all made mistakes, and sometimes we regret them, and you wonder, what kind of guy am I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful recording in a studio, or?
Actually, yeah. So my a friend of mine named Joel Seibel from Atlanta, he had just finished this was back in 2011, just finished his recording engineering degree at Georgia State, and he had a little like a little studio he had rigged up in his bedroom.
Okay. Yeah.
He made all of these sort of like sound barriers and things, and he gave me a great deal to record it. I think it sounds really great too.
It sounds gorgeous, and that at the very beginning, that piano coming in, it's like, whoa, beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, he's a really talented guy.
So we're going to go on and have you play another live one, but it's time for a public service announcement. And since you're almost a doctor in English, I'm going to have you read it.
Okay.
How's that? This is from the Freedom of Hunger folks. And maybe I might even ask you to see if this was actually written. Grammar-wise, No. I'm just joking there, but here we go.
Okay. Freedom from hunger brings innovative, sustainable self-help solutions to the fight against chronic hunger and poverty around the world. Because young children are the most vulnerable to malnutrition, Freedom from Hunger designs its self-help services for women, the primary caretakers of young children, equipping women with the resources they need to build futures of health, hope, and dignity. To get involved, call 530-758-6200 or visit freedomfromhunger.org.
Timothy has a radio voice and he has a new job. Forget the English thing. You're going to become a DJ.
I've got a face for radio, right?
You've got a face for radio. Absolutely. Already, you know, we're into the second half, and you've only played one song, so we're gonna keep continuing here with you playing another live one.
Yeah, I think that I'll play the sad one in the middle, so we don't have to end on a sad one.
Okay.
But this is a song that I wrote kind of after the completion of my album, and sort of at this crossroads of leaving a religious tradition, coming out as queer. So a lot of questions, a lot of sadness and a lot of grief about leaving that that world of my religion. This was a song that sort of attempts to capture that that heaviness, actually, yeah. and that really, that depth of pain and grief yeah. that I went through, and still sort of like, you know, a long time later, still recovering, I think, yeah. in a lot of ways.
Well, I can understand that, because those two items you touched upon is the core of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when those things have a little earthquake under them.
Yeah. You know, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Okay. And the name of the song?
It's called Live in the Dream.
Alrighty.
I should say, though, too, before I play it, that I have recorded a demo version of this, and I played it for my dad when I was home in Atlanta, and he told me it was the saddest song he'd ever heard. So we'll see if that's true.
Okay. Alrighty. Could you maybe just move a little closer? Just go that way, because it'll swing.
Okay.
There you go. You're good. Yep.
Okay.
You wake with an ache in your head, spilling the bottle beside the bed. Oh, last night's scheming has got you reeling with the same stuff from the day before. Is your body a house of the Lord, lying sick on the bathroom floor? All the day's sad feelings have got you dealing with demons that don't mess around. You never get what you want. Say what you mean. Oh, nothing's ever what it seems. You drink yourself to sleep and live in the dream. All your friends have husbands and wives. Got a lover with lonely eyes, and you stare at the ceiling and contemplate leaving, but you don't want to sleep alone. You never get what you want. You never say what you mean. What it seems, you drink yourself to sleep, living a dream. Oh, the hush at the end of the day. Dusk always makes you want to pray. But you curse the name Jesus. How the hell could you leave us? We need to feel the wound in your side. But we get what we want. We never say what we mean. No, nothing's ever what it seems. We drink ourselves to sleep, living in the dream. Thank you.
Okay. Timothy, you're an artist, right?
Yeah.
You're an artist. Not too many artists have to, in this case, sit in front of a person, or with you, if you sing it in front of other people, have to bear their soul. I mean, you know, Van Gogh did it in pictures, but you have to interpret it. Mm-hmm. You're a brave person just laying it on the line and saying what it is. I mean, you know, and people relate to it. So kudos to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, very nice. Just unbelievable.
I appreciate that.
You mentioned stepping away from your religion.
Yeah.
Completely, or just change denominations?
I think it was more of a wholesale kind of escape on my part. I was a pretty committed and pious kind of adherent, I think.
Right.
You know, it was a Baptist church. That was my denomination, evangelical Protestant. I think it came down to choosing myself and my well-being and my wholeness or my belonging in this group. And that was a really difficult decision to make, and a hard one that took a long time to execute and a long time to kind of like sort of detox from. Like after I left, I think that I was still attached in a lot of ways and had struggled with guilt and I left because I came out as gay, and that was a whole thing
bit.
In the South, it was particularly, I think, you know, around the time I was growing up too, it was still not okay to be out, and I'm not really sure, it seems like it might still be that way a little bit, but it was a calculated decision, and it had to be.
When you say you stepped away completely, does that mean you're agnostic now?
That's a good question. I don't know if I've answered that quite for myself, but I think if I had to, I would definitely place myself there as a sort of a person who is very open to the idea that there is something more than what we see and experience, you know, immediately. But I think that the sort of the structures and the dogma and the theology oftentimes of, you know, particular groups is super harmful, and so I'm like not super into that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And especially with religion, and you know, politics to a point. So you're from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Your view of the people around you are completely different than what you would have seen if you grew up in San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
You know, and especially if you grew up in India, mm-hmm. you know, Christianity might not be a big deal. Mm-hmm. It'd mm-hmm. be something else, or China. Mm-hmm. And so, interesting. Yeah.
I think actually something that my dissertation work has really helped with my sort of like leaving and healing process is like really getting a grip on the historical context of my particular evangelical tradition.
Right.
And I think that growing up, I never had any understanding of like the history of like this religion actually has a story behind it. And there were, you know, schisms that happened and things, and it's incredibly historical. And I think it was always presented to me as like, it's always been this way forever and always.
Right. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting subject to talk about. We'll sort of end it there. But I do believe that, when we were first married, Jeannie and I went to church for like 10 years, mm-hmm. and we gave, but we didn't give, if it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still wanted to go on vacations and
seriously.
And, you know, or go to a show or whatever. And, you know, if you strictly follow the Bible, that isn't the case, mm-hmm. you know. So anyways, mm-hmm. we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
All righty. You're listening to Timothy Walker on KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I told Timothy when he came on the air that this hour is going to go fast. We're almost 18 minutes away from ending it all. Isn't that amazing?
Incredible.
Yeah. Do you want to play one more from
here?
Yeah,
I'd love to.
Okay.
So how about the last track, When the War is Through? That's the title track. My sister is also on this one. Oh. There's also some lovely piano. So.
Okay, so what number is that?
I think it's 11.
11 it is.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And the war is finally done, and I behold my plunder won. The smoke will settle from the sky. And embers light. And I wanna be with you when the war is through.
There you have it, from the album by Threadbare Brother. The title of the album, When the War is Through, and that was the name of this song. By the way, this is a painting on your album?
Yeah.
What is it?
That's an 18th century engraver and painter, Gustave, I think Doré is how you say his last name.
Okay.
But yeah, it's called The Enigma is the name of the painting.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting. There's like a sphinx and like an angel,
right,
kind of looking into each other's eyes there.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Alrighty, before we go on, let me remind everybody that they're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pasteur, with Listening Lyrics. We're in the studio with Timothy Walker, talking about his music, his career. And I wanted to remind everybody that KDRT has about 33, 34 live shows that are played every week by local DJs. And the type of shows are all over the place, from a garden show to a Hawaiian show to a talk show, an inspirational show, and on and on it goes. We are all volunteers, and I just want to remind you that right before I come on here on Listening Lyrics, we have Sarah, better known as Joy Gentle. That's what she says. But anyways, you can catch her Friday afternoons live from 2:30 to 4 o'clock. It's an hour of fresh tunes to wrap up the week. And Sarah does search all over the place, goes to a lot of live concerts, and finds the music that fits her like a cup of tea, I guess I could say. Think of it like a song flight of awesome song sounds, ideas, and feelings. So listen in on Fridays at 2:30, and again, it replays on Mondays from 9:30 to 11 o'clock. And I think my schedule for Listening Lyrics now, this show is replayed on Sundays. No, it's changed. So I'm going to have to look for where it is now. But anyways, it is replayed, and take a look on kdrt.org. The whole schedule is on there. All the shows are have a little intro, and you'll get a feel for what it's all about. All righty, back to Timothy here. We've got 10 minutes or so, less than 10 minutes to go. We're going to ask Timothy to play another song.
Yeah.
He's live in the studio. Which one is it?
Okay, so I saved a fun one.
Good.
More fun. Good. for the end here. So this was my, I think, I wasn't ever, I think, didn't allow myself to write about queer love. So This is a love song, and it's called "The Drummer's My Man." It's just sort of imagining that sort of relationship with the guy in the band, you know.
Okay.
I drove an hour to see his band. I whispered to the stranger at the bar, "The drummer is my man. The drummer is my man. Oh, his rhythm is gold. All the girls are licking their lips, so they're swinging their hips, praying he'll take them home. His kick drum moves the room like a sea, and you pull me close. Oh,
could go out.
It's interesting, Timothy, that you picked the drummer who hardly you see when a band is playing. You know, he's usually
exactly.
in the back with all the other people in front of him, and he's sitting down behind all these drums.
Give the drummer some love, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, is are you telling us subconsciously something about that?
I mean, when I was envisioning the song, I was seeing somebody that was a drummer.
Right.
That
oh,
didn't last
okay.
long, but they that sort of inspired that initially.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I just thought, and it's a fun song, swinging their hips and licking their lips.
Yeah,
yeah, nice, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Timothy, we've got less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So before we go, I do want to let people know that I looked it up. 1 o'clock on Sundays is a replay. And this show, about an hour after it airs, so in about an hour, it'll be on most podcasts under Listening Lyrics. So you can take it from there. Anything you want to say before you go? Do you have a website or anything you can tell people about?
Yeah, so you can access my music on Spotify,
right?
And all the sort of streaming services.
It's all under Timothy Walker or Threadbare?
It's under Threadbare Brother.
Okay.
Yeah, so Threadbare.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
that's your way
okay.
down.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can access my music across the streaming platforms,
right.
Spotify, Apple Music, all of that under
okay.
Threadbare Brother.
Okay.
Threadbare, comma, Brother.
Right.
Also have a Bandcamp site.
Okay.
And Instagram is probably where I'm the most active. So that's
okay.
at Threadbare Brother.
Okay.
If you want to give me a little follow.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing yourself, your music. It's just wonderful. I hope you put another CD together and include some of those songs that we've heard live today.
I would love that
yeah.
so much.
And okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful to be here.
You're more than welcome. And I'd love to go out with you just singing something. You know, is that possible? Or
can it be,
it can be anything.
A cover song?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know just the one.
Okay. Who's it by?
This is a Lucinda Williams song.
Okay.
You're the one, you're my shining star. You're the one that I've been waiting for. Let's fly away to some foreign country where nobody knows who we are. I wish I had a ship to sail the waters. I wish I had about $100. And I'd just stand there, glass in my hand, dear, feeling like nothing. And your words run through me.
I could swear I knew.